Psalm 73, these are the words of God. A psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace, violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, they have more than a heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. They say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one wakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Him have I in heaven but you, and there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord Yahweh, that I may declare all your works. For the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, where Asaph was comparing what he had done to what others had done, and comparing what his life had gone like to what their life had gone like, and he concluded, I have cleansed my heart and washed my hands in innocence, and they are evil. Have pride as their necklace, and violence covers them. They wear violence like a shirt. They scoff and speak wickedly and speak loftily. They even brag against God. They set their mouths against the heavens, verse 9. Their tongue walks through the earth. They say, verse 11, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? And in his description of the wicked, he intersperses the entire description of how bad they are with how good their circumstances seem to him to be. But when he goes to the sanctuary of God, he finds out that he was wicked too. He realizes that he had been grieved and vexed and was foolish and ignorant and like a beast towards him. And now, not only does he see that he has been wicked, just like those to whom he had been comparing himself, maybe not in the same way, but wicked against the holy God, and like a beast unto the holy God. And then he marvels at the great goodness of God. Because when he went into the sanctuary, he didn't just see the glory and goodness of God, so that he could be like Job and abase himself and dust and ashes, loathe himself and dust and ashes before God, having considered afresh or anew the goodness and glory of God. But he also sees the wicked's end and his own end. The wicked's end is, no matter how good it seemed like they have it in this life, as soon as this life is over, all at once, utter devastation and terror. And his end is that the God who is with him, who has patiently borne this brutish unthankfulness, and you too, mark it, have been beastly in your unthankfulness towards God. Every grumbling in the of the heart, every doubt, every anxiety, we have been beastly in our unthankfulness toward God, and yet he has been patient with us. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. We go through our lives, and the Lord is the one who's sustaining us. He's even holding our right hand and taking care of us while we grumble against him. He sustains our life. And going into the sanctuary and remembering the glory of God and realizing the greatness of his unthankfulness makes him also realize that it's God who's been taking care of him the whole time. And then he says, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. So what's his end? The end of the wicked is, as soon as he dies, utter terror forever. What's the end of Asaph? As soon as he dies, the God who has taken him by the hand, led him by the hand through this life, guided him by the counsel, is the one who receives him into glory. This is why all those ridiculous 90 minutes in heaven and such books and people who say they've visited their aunt in heaven and all that nonsense, they have not considered heaven the way Psalm 73 does, because he remembers that it is God himself who is going to receive him into glory. And that's what prompts him to say, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. He says, I already have everything. I have all of the property that I need, all of the treasure that I need. What treasures of heaven and earth could all be added together to even compare in the smallest way to God? None, of course. All of them together cannot. And so he says, I already have all the portion that I need. You are my portion forever. And I already have all the power that I need. I may at times be very ill. I may be injured. I may, in terms of social or political circumstances, be very weak and depressed. But my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If you have the Lord, then you have already an infinite portion and an infinite power. And this is why you can say, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing else that I desire on earth beside you. And when we realize that, when the Lord brings us back to remember that, then we will repent of our unthankfulness and repent of thinking that we have done him any favors, that we have done such a great job of cleansing our heart and washing our hands. Yeah, right. An unthankful heart is not clean. And yet the Lord has been patient with us for his own mercy. For us, we will define good as to draw near to God and put our trust in him so that we can declare all his works. Not declare ours. He started by declaring his, right? But when the Lord brings us back to gratitude and repentance and dependence upon him and delight in him, then he takes us from declaring our works to declaring his. And may you each have your mouths full your whole life long of the goodness of your God. But in order to have your mouth full of the goodness of your God, you're going to have your heart full of thankfulness for his goodness, so that out of the overflow of that heart, your mouth would speak. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for the way that you dealt with Asaph in such patience and mercy and bringing him to repentance and thankfulness and devotion and praise. And we pray that you would now, by your Spirit, who carried Asaph along as he wrote the psalm, that he would give light to our mind and our hearts and make this portion of your word take root deeply, that we would be brought to a repentance of thankfulness and delight in you and devotion to you, desire to praise you. Do this for us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.